Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jill Schlesinger is with us on the WBEN Trocar College Live Line. Her show is part of our weekend lineup here on WBEN. And Jill, we want to start by asking you about the deal that is being reported this morning between the U.S. and China to roll back most of the recent tariffs for 90 days. It seems like Wall Street loves this when you look at futures. Just how significant is this?
Well, I think it's huge because this was the big cloud of uncertainty hanging over the economy, hanging over all of us, frankly, because, again, it's not a deal yet. It's a pause for 90 days, but it looks like that the kind of the aspects of this are more in line with what corporate America had expected coming into this administration. You know, I think it's a good reminder to say that the President Trump campaigned on 10% tariffs. So that's what many were like, okay, that's what we're going to get, 10% across the board tariffs, maybe more for China. So if we end up with 10% tariffs and this extra 20%, if you recall, that was an announcement that was, you know, because of China's participation in fentanyl. And so if we end up with a 10% blanket tariff and then maybe 20% on certain things with carve outs for other things, I think that would go a long way to settle the matter. And I'm not sure if anyone really took seriously that 145% or 125% that the Chinese and the U.S. were going back and forth, that would stay in place forever. But it was doing a lot of damage to the economy, enough damage so that both sides basically blinked this weekend.
So everything would stand at 30%, if I understand this correctly,
yeah,
at the end of this.
With China.
With China. 90-day pause, moving down the tariff levels. There's still like this question of what this might look like at the end of it. Like, is the idea here to just put a blanket tariff on China, or are we trying to target certain industries where, you know, if the goal is to move manufacturing back to the U.S., remember we heard that so many times, you know, are we just talking about semiconductor chips and not, you know, I used the example last week of my son's plastic bubble blower. You know, like, is one industry maybe worth a little bit more than the other to have here in the U.S.? Do we have any clarity on that going forward?
Well, we don't have clarity yet, right? You're absolutely right that there is like this, that because when you apply something with like a blanket or blunt force, you are not really delving into the nuance that we are not going to have manufacturing facilities for toys. We are not going to have manufacturing facilities for shoes. It's just not happening. And we don't have a workforce that's ready for it. We don't have a machinery that's ready for it. And whatever manufacturing comes back, yes, of course, there'll be some jobs that come back. But, you know, manufacturing is really enhanced by technology. That's where most of the jobs are going to go, right? Automation. So I think that what we have to look for are the details. So we are saying, okay, there's a pause. Oh, if there were a 10% tariff if there's a 10% tariff that remains in place and maybe that 20% comes down. So let's just pretend we end up with 20% tariffs on China and 10% on everyone else. That is not going to encourage any jobs coming back here. Just not. Because what manufacturers and what people are looking for is, how can I outsource this because other places do it better, more efficiently than we do? But what it could do is raise prices for certain things. So hurry up and get your holiday presents now. But I think that the real issue is where we end and which industries are carved out. It is now clear, again, I feel like the Trump administration has now blinked twice. One was when the bond market rolled over, when he was threatening to fire Jerome Powell. And the other is this minute where it's like, oh, wait a second. The economy's slowing down and pretty much every investment bank has said that we're going to have a 50% chance of a recession. Let's make a deal.
All right. This is the big one. Could this deal help with other deals with other countries?
I think it will. I mean, it's clear that many countries have said, we want a deal, right? certainly like Vietnam, and certainly our very close trading partners, Canada and Mexico. So yeah, I think there are going to be other deals. But whatever was announced, you can throw it out the window. It's all kind of like smoke and mirrors at this point until you get the details of what is actually agreed upon. And so it feels like this unnecessary roller coaster ride. You know, I'm the kind of gal who, like, I'm happy on a merry-go-round when it comes to investing in life. Like, it's no, I don't need extremes. But if we end at the place where essentially we should have started, you put the economy and people and corporate America through an exercise in feeling anxiety, and that doesn't go away very quickly. So one of the things we have to watch for is whether the initial flurry of tariffs, you know, was starting earlier this year with Canada and Mexico, then again in that April 2nd at that Rose Garden announcement, and now going back and forth, it leaves us with a level of uncertainty that actually could inform what we do next. So this is not to say that everything's over, and it's not to say that everything's going to be terrible. It's just that we have to get through this period of uncertainty to kind of feel like we're back on our feet emotionally in this economy.
Well, futures are way up on the news. Treasury yields soaring on some of the news. Tech stocks really seeing some positive numbers here. But is this like our national tariff nightmare is over celebration? Mm. Or is this more kind of wild swings ahead for us, do you think?
I mean, it is hard to say. I have to be clear in that sometimes the initial reaction of the market, like stocks, is different than what we ultimately get. So we are seeing what this is very much called as a relief rally. Like, thank goodness, like, our dark times are over. But if dark times reemerge, you'll see selling escalate. I will remind everyone that early on, when the world was falling apart, those first couple of days, I came on the Monday after, which was, I guess, April 5th, 6th, 7th, whatever that date was. And I came on and I said, I know this is horrible. Please don't blow out of your entire portfolio. Please don't go to cash, because this is what can happen. We can see markets move dramatically. And so trying to guess what's going to land, what's not going to land, it's a fool's errand. We don't need to do that. So I encourage folks to kind of stick to that game plan and really try to tune out the noise.
That is good. All right. So the same advice really holds even from weeks ago for long-term investors. Just ride the course, hold the course.
Absolutely. It usually works. It doesn't work in the short term. You're going to feel awful in the short term, but it really does work over time.
Jill, thanks as always. Great to hear from you. Jill Schlesinger of Jill on Money on the big news this morning.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.